All right, here we go. I'm 3, 2, 1. And welcome to the Out of the Woods Flight Deck, a podcast dedicated to blah, 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 Tim Capper, blah, 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 Bad Monkey Popcorn, blah, 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 Cliffy D, blah, 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 Cliff, blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, blah, 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 blah.
I'm so keeping that. Here we go. Three, 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Alouettes Flight Deck, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
All right, folks, we've been clear for takeoff.
Give me a hell, give me a yell. Stand up right now.
And welcome to Alouettes Flight Deck, podcast dedicated to Montreal Alouettes football, presented by Bad Monkey Popcorn. I'm Tim Capper, along with Cliffy D. Hey, did you get wet?
Oh, did I ever.
Anyway, and most people don't think, you know, it didn't rain that much. I knew they were calling for rain this past week, but when it came down, it was shades of, wasn't it shades of the Tanner Marsh comeback game versus BC?
Yes, and you know what, I gotta say, like, it wasn't raining throughout the game for the most part, but it was more just before the game and then just towards the end with, like, less than 2 minutes to go. And the skies just opened right up.
I thought it was funny. The guy that I was sitting next to that sits right above us basically said, okay, you have 15 minutes to finish up. I was like, it's like, do you have Mother Nature's number? So yeah, it was a good week, and you know, I put out a couple. I only had to put out one tweet during the game, and I think that said it all. I mean, the Alouettes had some drives of the year, in my opinion, and I think that was the one that was in the second quarter that they had it. But before we get to the game, dude, we got to do it again. It is that week. It is now that time of the week where we get our popcorn on.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
dear Lord. Okay, so as you know, we are presented by Bad Monkey Popcorn, and we are going over a flavor of the week each week. Last week was Baby Girl, and we were pretty receptive on it.
It was really nice. I have to admit, like, when I first saw the packaging, I was a little concerned. Like, I'm not sure if I'm going to like this because, I mean, not that I hate cherries, but you never know with cherry-flavored things. It's very hit or miss, but this was a solid hit.
Right, exactly. So what I have done is that for Baby Girl, I have replaced it with Spin Again, and we have the other flavors that are currently available on the wheel. So we're going to spin it, open it, try it, and because I know there's a couple flavors you want to try, doesn't mean we're going to. I can just turn the damn wheel so it... Oh, look, it's there. but I will spin it. Let's make sure everybody can hear this. Is this up here? Hello? Bueller? Okay. So here we go. We're going to spin the wheel, crack it open, and get popcorn in our teeth. Here we go. That's hilarious. Twister! Flavor of the week is Twister, and I know you've been looking forward to this one, actually.
Actually, I have. I'm very excited to try this now.
So let me go away from the mic here for a second and grab my bag of Twister. No, not the movie. Not the movie. Even that was a good disaster movie. Got the scissors?
Oh, you bet.
Good old scissors. Crack it open.
Smell funky good, by the way.
Twister, by the way, Melange Twister. It is salt and vinegar and barbecue.
Yes, that's quite the medley of flavors. I'm trying to think what it reminds me of sniff wise it's like, you definitely get bits of the barbecue, but
yeah.
Well, I'm excited. Let's get trying it.
If you think you can catch a small hint of vinegar.
A little bit, yeah.
Mm. I've always said this is my favorite. I've had this before, so.
No, this is good.
It is a good flavor. If you like salt and vinegar chips, you'll like it. There's just a hint, really, of barbecue, sort of a little bit at the beginning, then a little bit of an aftertaste afterwards, which you'll catch it.
Absolutely, it's quite the eclectic flavor, I must say.
So you can get your salt on.
Oh yeah, this is definitely not sweet. Whereas Baby Girl was sweet.
Yeah,
this has definitely got the salty, the little bit of spice kick to it.
Yeah.
Nothing outrageous, I'll tell you that right now. It's not like flaming hot or anything like that. Like most people.
No, I wish they would. I think Bad Monkey has a couple of flavors that are specialty flavors that you can get that are. I think one is sriracha. I think.
Ooh.
I'm curious to try that because I know a lot of these aren't really hot, spicy hot.
Sriracha is all the rage nowadays, flavor wise. So.
Yeah. Back of throat. Need water.
Tim, you gotta have the water ready before you do the popcorn.
That ruins it. I'm not choking on it. Okay. Good. So rating scale of footballs. How would you rate it?
I'll give it a good solid 3 footballs on this. Very good. Like I said, nice flavor, nothing outstanding. Like I said, it's a good balance. Like I said, it's a great twist, if you will.
Nice pun.
Yes, it's a nice twist on that sort of sour, vinegary taste, and then like that little spicy kick of barbecue. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic.
Because I know this is one of the flavors that I've had before. I actually am going to give this a 4.5.
Whoa! There you go.
I was very surprised you went with a 3, but mind you, you've only had 2 of the 6 flavors. So.
Yeah. No. Like I said, it's. I really like it. It's good. I guess I kind of expect a little bit more. I guess when it comes to the salty snacks versus sweet,
mm-hmm.
my standards are a little bit low when it comes to sweets. I'm not a huge sweets person. So that's why I was pleasantly surprised by the Baby Girl popcorn. But this, like I said, this is not bad. I'm not mad at this at all. This is quite tasty.
I would love to see it. I don't know if they have it. A nacho and jalapeno.
Mm.
I think jalapeno is probably my kit du jour, is my spice du jour. Even though there's cayenne pepper. Well, that's spicy. Cayenne pepper's spicy, but that's good too. Chili powder. Mm. Yeah.
And heaven help us if they ever do a habanero flavor.
Whew. Oh, I know. Yep. Ghost pepper.
Oh my gosh. I'd be all on board for that. I'd be all on board for a ghost pepper popcorn.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought it was pretty good. So, again, shout out to our sponsor, Bad Monkey Popcorn. It's available across Canada. Anywhere besides Quebec, I think it is located in Bed Bath & Beyond. And in Quebec, it is located at many of your major and independent grocery dealers. If you have any questions, though, you can head over to their website at badmonkeypopcorn.com.
And don't forget, folks, if you happen to go to Alouettes games at Percival Molson Stadium, they do have a Bad Monkey kiosk at the stadium. So you can get your popcorn fix, like I said, the regular way or the Bad Monkey way.
Yep. I was in the fan zone actually this past week at halftime, and I happened to see somebody with, funny we mentioned it, Twister. Saw them finishing off their bag of Bad Monkey popcorn.
There you go.
And no, I'm not just plugging this up. That actually did happen.
I'm telling you, this is great popcorn.
Well, the game itself, man. I mean, as I said, there were some good things and bad things about this game. Halftime alone itself, being a guy who watches a lot of arena football and where it is so imperative to take advantage of scoring at the end of the first half and at the beginning of the second, especially when you get the ball, Calgary did exactly what they had to do to get back into this game. But before they were able to get back into the game, obviously we need to talk about how it got to that particular point. First, the beginning of the first half with the two teams trading field goals, it made me wonder if this game was going to be another defensive battle. And at first, it did seem that it was going that way, right?
Yeah, the first quarter, especially each team nodding a field goal, and it really felt like neither offensive side, neither offense could really get anything going. I mean, Darian Durant had a absolutely fantastic pass to Ernest Jackson to start the game off. But again, all they had to show for it was a field goal, which is unfortunate because it just right away, once you saw that, getting down into the red zone and then ultimately having to go for three, your heart just sort of sunk a little bit, and you thought,
well, yeah, considering the pass itself was amazing. I mean, it's what we've been waiting for. Instead of these short dinks and dunks, he went for it on that
exactly.
play.
And how many times have I said the past 2 weeks, you got to open things up, and that's exactly what he did. Darian Durant is a gunslinger. Mm-hmm. Ernest Jackson is a playmaker. They call him Action Jackson for a reason. Well, it's about time we see some action from this guy. And again, I'm not blaming him per se, but I mean, like, about time that Coach Jacques Chapdelaine gets this offense going. And what better way to do so than with these players that you have on your attack? It's imperative to be able to score points. You got to march down the field and put the ball in the end zone.
Yeah.
And that first play, everybody sat up and took notice right away. It was exciting. It was the kind of play you want to see, the kind of play you expect to see from this Alouettes offense. And like I said, just the fact that unfortunately the best they could do was notch a field goal for their troubles. Yeah, your heart kind of sunk a little bit just because you thought, oh man, are we back to this again? Are we back to just screwing things up? It's unfortunate. I got to take a pause.
Now then, also we thought everything was going to go well after that. The Alouettes had the ball; they were driving again, and it's something we're getting used to. I don't know if you call it a bad one. You know, Durant throws an interception, basically while the Owls are driving. And I mean, at that point, I think it ended up being that he was basically at that time he was three touchdowns and three interceptions on the year. So. Do you agree? I mean, was it a bad interception, or is it just something that we're just trying to get used to?
I want to believe it's trying to get used to. I mean, Siante Evans, who made that first pick, was just outstanding. Like, he read Darian like a book, and again, he jumped right in front of the ball and made plays happen. I mean, that's what this Calgary defense can do if you give them the chance. And I really felt that Darian, for the past couple of weeks, has been trying to put a square peg into a round hole. And ends up getting burned as a result. And you saw that again against Calgary. Two interceptions for Darian Durant. Like I said, that one by Evans was just, again, as I talked about, the fact that we're starting to see the same stuff over and over again, leaving points on the field, Durant turning the ball over. It's just things that, if you don't recover from these things, it's just another knife in the heart for Alouettes fans. And just, like I said, takes the wins right out of your sails. So the fact that Montreal was able to eventually recover from that is great. But you see plays like that, especially too, like that first half, for the most part, was just kind of sad, really.
Yeah, it was.
More of the same stuff that we saw. Even against the game against Saskatchewan, Edmonton, BC, like the first half was middling at best. And you have to wonder, when is this going to change? When's the worm going to turn, so to speak? And thankfully it did, but like I said, to sort of set the table like that, it wasn't exactly the best way to go about doing it, especially if you're trying to instill confidence in your fan base that these are the moves that you had to make in the offseason, and these are the plays that are going to get us to the promised land. When you see stuff like that happen, it's disheartening, but I said that's why you play all four quarters. I mean, it's very easy to get down when you see stuff like that.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
it's not how you get knocked down; it's how you get yourself back up. And credit to the Alouettes, they got back up and in a very convincing way in that second quarter.
No, it's true. I mean, it just looked like everything was going to go just the total opposite way than what us Alouettes fans were hoping, and it was just basically, you know, we're seeing this. And it just brings us back to the nightmare of the past couple of seasons where we didn't have a veteran presence. I mean, well, I can't discount in any way. Totally lost my train of thought.
Kevin Glenn.
Thank you, Kevin Glenn. You knew exactly what I was talking about. You can't discount Kevin Glenn, but it just seemed to be, who just replaced somebody with a veteran presence. But yet, if you don't fix everything else, then it really didn't matter. So, you know, it just seemed that everything seemed to be going full circle over and over and over again. But that actually wasn't the case this week. And it was very nice to see. Sure, you know, another interception ended up turning into, I think, some more points for the Stampeders. But finally, the Owls were able to get on the boards with a touchdown of their own, and it just started from there, didn't it?
Oh yeah. I mean, first of all, BJ Cunningham was all alone, and Darian Durant just threw an absolute dart to him. Absolutely beautiful play. Probably the easiest touchdown that Cunningham's ever going to score in his life, short as if he lines up at the 1 yard line and waltzes in.
Yeah.
But he was just all alone. You talk about broken coverage from Calgary. Whew. I mean, BJ was an island unto himself. And then all he had to do was just waltz into the end zone untouched for a touchdown. It doesn't get any easier than that. So that was absolutely fantastic. And then everybody's jacked up. Everybody's excited because, hey, we got a touchdown. This is great. All well and good. And then the defense decided, you know what? No, we want in on this touchdown action. And they got to work.
Yes, 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 they did. And I think this is probably one of the bigger changes, though. And by the way, you know, with the way that the Owls were scoring and what they did, the 30 points itself, it was the first time that the Owls have scored 30 points in less than a calendar year. But still, it seems, you know, these multiple scoring games seem so far and few between. It just gets a little frustrating on our end. But I think probably one of the biggest turns of the game happened late in the quarter was the scoop and score by Dozier.
Oh yeah, Brandon Dozier. What a stud this kid has become. His first year with the Alouettes, and he has looked absolutely great. In fact, I find that he's been the perfect replacement for Winston Venable. I know a lot of people were very upset when the Alouettes decided not to re-sign him, and it turned out to be for the best because, yeah, Venable did end up signing with the Argonauts, but didn't even make it through. I think he made it through their mini camp, and that was about it, until he decided during training camp that, yeah, he doesn't want to play football anymore. So,
or at least he doesn't want to play football for the Argos.
Could very well be. But in any event, Venable is no longer playing football for any teams, and now we've got this absolute stud in Brandon Dozier, who just absolutely phenomenal play. All set up by Chris Ackey.
Oh, what a play. Yeah, what a play.
Knocking the ball out of Jerome Messam's hands. A little bit of hot potato going on, but then Dozier managed to grab onto the ball, scoot into for a touchdown. Absolutely beautiful. The place is going bonkers. Everybody is loving it. Problem is, though, there was flags on the play. Now, of course.
Multiple. And if I counted them all, it was all the refs' flags. So you had six. You had a bunch of laundry on the field.
Yeah. And Alouettes fans now are pretty well conditioned to just groan and immediately assume the worst. When you see a bunch of flags like that thrown after a play, it's not good for us. It's rarely the other team that has this. But lo and behold, it turns out there was a little bit of a brouhaha, if you will, between Messam and, well, Chip Cox, essentially.
Yes, yeah.
Depending on whose side of the story you're going with, both Cox and Messam, former teammates, by the way, as Messam did used to play for the Montreal Alouettes, they got into a little bit of a skirmish, and Jerome Messam decided that Chip Cox didn't need a face mask on his helmet anymore and tried to remove it for him.
Problem is, he removed not only the face mask, but he also removed the helmet.
Yeah, and referees don't take too kindly to that. So naturally, the laundry is going to fly. And of course, when a teammate gets attacked, it's very natural for the rest of your teammates to come to your defense. Mm-hmm. And as I said, a melee ensued and lots of flags. And when the dust was settled, it turned out that, yeah, we're not taking any of Jerome Messam's nonsense, and hit the showers, kid. And Mr. Messam ended up disqualified from the match.
Yeah. Now, it also helped, I mean, for us, luckily that was there, because when you have, you know, obviously when you get the unsportsmanlike or the personal foul and then you get the ejection, that's an automatic. I think the ejection is 25 yards in itself. So even though that Napton had a penalty called against him of 10 yards, it still benefited the Owls. The touchdown stood because obviously it was post-play. Mm-hmm. So you know, the Alouettes do that, and they go up 16-6, and everything's looking good so far in Alouettes land.
It really is. As I said, Calgary did manage to get out of the half by scoring another field goal. I mean, for Calgary, one of the premier offenses in the Canadian Football League, Bo Levi Mitchell, who I truly believe is very much an elite quarterback in this league.
He had gone in winning 19 straight.
19 straight games. The only loss he really had in the past calendar year was the Grey Cup, which unfortunately is not exactly the best time to turn in your worst performance, but it happens. But to limit Bo Levi Mitchell and this Calgary offense to only 9 points in the first half is nothing short of phenomenal.
No, that is true.
And that speaks so much to the defensive stylings of Noel Thorpe and just how strong this defense. They bend, but they don't break. And that's really truly what's keeping Montreal in these games, is the fact that their defense has been able to withstand such an offensive onslaught. And the fact that you were able to make Bo Levi Mitchell look human, sort of bring him down to earth a little bit. The fact you're able to corral a lot of these receivers like Kamar Jordan and Marquay McDaniel and Lamar Durant and Deveris Daniels. I mean, these are some real true studs when it comes to the Calgary offense. And the fact that we were able to sort of stifle them and get Jerome Messam thrown out of the game. I mean, that's pretty much how you're going to win football games. Not the throwing people out part, but just taking these superstars and just grinding them to a halt, like just keeping them in check. And being able to do it on a consistent basis is how you're going to win football games in the Canadian Football League.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is where, and as I say, Calgary was able to rebound quite a bit, having the scoring at the end of the half, getting the first score in the third quarter is huge. It's a huge turnaround, but the Alouettes just went completely stagnant in the third quarter, and it was not a very good quarter for the Alouettes at all.
It really wasn't. They just again. Like I talked about earlier in that first quarter, where it just didn't feel like anything could get going. That's really the impression that we had once again. And again, I don't blame Alouette fans for being down in the dumps or discouraged by seeing this sort of offensive output, because the fans know that this team is talented. They know that they've got some really talented players on this team, both on offense and on defense. And if we're just relying solely on the defense to win football games, then this football team is going to be in a lot of trouble. So it's just a matter now of, we know what Darian Durant can do. We know what these receivers are capable of. We've got one of the premier running backs in the league in Tyrell Sutton. Once again, it just came down to, was it the play selection? Was it just bad luck? Did Calgary just sort of realize, oh gosh, we took these guys way too lightly and now we got to smarten up? Any number of reasons why, but yeah, after three quarters, Calgary had a one point lead. And
four. This was 4 point lead.
4 point lead, I'm sorry. And it came down to, for Montreal, it was gut check time. It was time to roll up your sleeves and get to work. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. But this past Friday, it worked. And it worked wonderfully.
Yeah, it did well. And to me, by the way, I had to go back and check when I did the tweet, but I think the BJ Cunningham one, I think, was the touchdown that I called for the best one of the year, because it was through consistency that they're able to do this. You know, sure, the Alouettes had their, you know, they finally gave up their first sack in three games, so they weren't able to try and match the record by the 2000 Hamilton Tiger Cats, who didn't give up a sack in their first four. But, yeah, they were able to, the fourth quarter was theirs. They did seem to do everything right in the fourth quarter. And whether it was through, by pass, by run, or by slogging through rain, they were able to do it. They were able to pull out the win, beat the Stampeders 30-23, and snap Bo Levi Mitchell's 19-game and league record 19-game winning streak as a starting quarterback.
Yep. He's human after all, folks.
So it was... it was good. I was very impressed. I mean, the last two touchdowns by the Alouettes were by Sutton. That was a great touchdown. And
just, like I said, the way this kid puts his shoulder down and just grinds away, does not stop moving. He keeps his legs constantly churning. Absolutely fantastic. And then Vernon Adams with the 1 yard touchdown plunge, and just the drive to get there was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, that's where everybody's contributing. You got Nick Lewis making outstanding catches. Ernest Jackson, his 50-50 catch was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell he should have been able to catch that. But I tell you, this is where the talent is.
Height went where it needed to be. He got at the highest point. He actually used the defender's helmet a little bit to help him bring that ball down. It was amazing. Now, obviously, you look at all the positives, and the Alouettes are 2-2. There still is a major issue for this Alouettes team. And it's something that I don't know if it seems to be building or base, you know, building throughout the year. And it's something that we've seen before, but it's killing the team. It is penalties, 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 penalties.
Yeah, and completely unacceptable. Like, some of these penalties are just absolutely stupid. And you just know, like, it's just these, it can be so backbreaking. And that's what's frustrating more than anything else, is the fact that some penalties can't be avoided. Okay, incidental contacts or things like that, fine. You know, illegal use of the hands, whatever. I mean, it's tough. It's spur of the moment. You've got like a split second to make a decision on how you're going to attack the ball, whether you're on offense or defense. And to me, it's just – at least it wasn't a too-many-men penalty this time. I think this is the first game in two games that we didn't have a too-many-men penalty. So I guess that's progress.
But what needs to be done, Cliff? I mean, 15 penalties, 130 yards. I mean, sure, you know, Calgary had eight penalties for 103, but still, this is the Owls that we're dealing with. You know, already you've already gone one field length and just a little bit more by the yards itself. And this is what can kill you when it comes to trying to finish your drives.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, we complain about Darren Durant not putting stuff together, not putting together great drives, but every once in a while he will, and then it's negated by a penalty. So, I mean, in that sense, he's kind of doing his job. So why doesn't his teammates step up and do their job as well? I mean, these are just little things, but how many times have we said little things will lead to big things? And that's good and bad. I mean, like these penalties, I mean, that's really something. I wish there was a magic formula or something we could do to sort of stem the tide of these penalties, because it's disheartening. Because referees, whether you like it or not, they want to be the stars of the show. And if you give them just an inch on that football field, they will take a whole bloody yard. And you know they got trigger fingers. They got trigger fingers on their flags. They're ready to throw them at a moment's notice. You just look at them cross-eyed, for crying out loud.
Oh,
throw the flag on you.
You have set up segue so perfectly. We got to talk about game ball real quickly, because you really set up the next segment perfectly. Game ball.
Well, how can you not give the Alouettes flight deck game ball to Brandon Dozier? Guy led the team in tackles with seven defensive tackles, and the absolutely incredible scoop and score to put the Alouettes ahead and nearly keep them ahead for the entire game. You talk about a great heads-up play, great presence of mind. Like I said, this kid is definitely going places. Like, we didn't know who he was until recently, but you talk about a coming-out party, and Brandon Dozier had himself a coming-out party this past Friday against Calgary. And I'm very excited to see. You take a look at the linebacking core, and of course you've got the veterans like Chip Cox and Kyrie Zabert. But now you throw in these youngsters like Dominique Tovell and Brandon Dozier. These guys are out there laying the lumber out. It's exciting. I'm really curious now to see just how Dozier repeats his performance, if you will.
Right.
Or what can he do to sort of raise the bar for himself as far as defensive play for Montreal. I definitely really like what I see in him, and I just hope he keeps it going. So, yeah, I'm very happy to be able to present the game ball to Brandon Dozier for his outstanding effort against Calgary this past Friday.
Looking for something different from your snacks? Grab a bag of Bad Monkey Popcorn. Bad Monkey Popcorn is produced locally in Montreal in a number of mouthwatering flavors that will have your taste buds wanting more after just one kernel. Now available throughout Quebec in most major grocery stores, independent outlets, and selected cities across Canada. For more information, head to badmonkeypopcorn.com. Referees. And I think if anybody goes and looks specifically on social media, and you do look up the hashtag WhatAboutKaren, this was very interesting, to say the least. You know, as everybody knows, I think everybody except for Quebec, is eligible to go into the Safeway Sobeys $1 million to win.
I'll stop you right there, Tim.
Yeah.
It's everybody west of Thunder Bay. Like, wherever there's a Safeway store in Canada is where that's who's eligible to participate. And the easternmost Safeway store that does $1 million touchdown to win is in Thunder Bay, Ontario.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Anything east of Thunder Bay, sorry, but you're out of luck.
There's nothing in the Maritimes?
Nope. I didn't see anything there. It pretty much seems like Eastern Canada, doesn't get to, they get to watch the ads. They get to watch so and so from Flin Flon, Manitoba. You could win a home theater system if the kickoff is returned for a touchdown, and if in the second one is, you get $1 million.
Wait a minute, I know somebody in Flin Flon. No. I feel bad. I mean, this. I mean, the game itself, the kickoff return was stunning. This happened last Thursday, by the way. And I'm sure everybody knows about this. So they're basic. You guys are basically saying, Tim, we know what you're talking about. And it just so happened that, you know, something very similar to the tandem block for, you know, for the touchdown that wasn't called, that was called back on the Alouettes a few weeks ago. This actually was a lot worse because it ended up costing this person $1 million, basically. And anybody who watches the replay, it's very self-explanatory that I think he wasn't he also falling backwards or also in the motion of falling?
He was in the motion of falling, and he was roughly about, depending on who you ask, anywhere between 5 to 8 yards away from the play. So, I mean, it wasn't really affecting the play itself.
And wasn't the ref even farther away?
Even farther away. I mean, it's – and what really sucks, too, is that it took away an absolutely – one of many outstanding runs for Martise Jackson, former Montreal Alouette, by the way. He was on our practice roster last year and unfortunately did not stay with the Alouettes. But as Jim Popp tends to do, he finds himself former Alouettes and will be more than happy to add them to the roster for the Argonauts. He did, and Martise Jackson is no different. And you talk about coming out parties. Martise Jackson had himself a coming out party against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And unfortunately, though, he will just be a footnote on this particular scenario, because what should have been an absolutely outstanding play end up negated, and yes, unfortunately, a poor woman in Winnipeg cannot be considered a millionaire, despite, by and large, this being a touchdown, the second touchdown that she needed. So she had already won that $25,000 home theater system.
Yep.
Which is pretty awesome.
Still, yes.
But $1 million is $1 million. And
even though wasn't the payout something like, it was over like 10 years or something like that? It's sort of similar to what they did with the Wendy's kick to win for $1 million.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, though, it's still
either way, it's $1 million. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. That's not chump change.
No. And after this occurred, I mean, you know, because we still have been talking about referees for most of the year already, and we're only week four. I guess the CFL went into PR mode. I don't know if that's fair to say, but I think that's exactly how I feel about it. A lot of other corporations stepped up and offered her certain things. The CFL offered her a VIP package to this year's Grey Cup. The Blue Bombers offered her season tickets for the rest of this year and all of next year, getting a year's free worth of groceries from Safeway and Sobeys. That's amazing in itself. Oh, and yeah. Then 500,000 air miles. Is it air miles? I wasn't sure if it was Aeroplan. I couldn't remember which one it was, but air miles. Mm-hmm. She came out well, you know. And as I said, the audio system, TV and audio system. So, yeah, so, I mean, she came out like gangbusters in this one, but still, it's not $1 million. But my question to you is that if this had been any other thing, you know, considering what's happened this year, do you think the CFO would have stepped in? Was it something that Commissioner Ambrosi said, you know, we got to do something. We got to do something for this. And was it basically saying, Cliff, that, yeah, you know what? Even though it wasn't officially saying it, he was throwing a little shade at the ref saying, yeah, they kind of screwed up.
Well, and he's sort of responsible for how the league handles things. You know, he's pretty much now the face of the league as far as that goes. So he had to do something. There was no way the CFL was just going to bury their head in the sand and just pretend this didn't happen. Could you imagine just the scorn? I mean, just you saw it on social media Thursday night with the whole hashtag of what about Karen? And you see people are like, oh, just give her the million anyways. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's easy for you to say. It's not your money. But at the same time, you got to do something for this poor woman. I mean, again, yeah, she wins a home theater system, so it's not like she's going away with absolutely nothing. But at the same time, like, they did her dirty as far as this goes. I mean, whether you want to blame the referees or the player in question or any number of things, and why weren't things challenged and blah, 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 you can go about all this until the cows come home. At the end of the day, though, both Safeway / Sobeys and the CFL had to step up. They had to do something to at least make an attempt of doing it right by her.
Right.
giving her the $1 million just because, no. I mean, she didn't do anything wrong, and she was just the victim of a really bad circumstance, and it could have happened to just about anyone. I mean, like I said, it was a judgment call. Sometimes good judgment, sometimes bad judgment happens. There's nothing you can do about that. But what you can handle, what you can control, is how you react afterwards. And right. I really have to applaud the CFL, the Blue Bombers, Safeway, and everybody else who stepped up to the plate and said, you know what, it's not $1 million, but hey, you definitely deserve some sort of recognition for this. So in addition to the theater system, you get all this. And like I said, the fact that you were willing to do that for her, to at least do right by her, I appreciate that. I think that definitely says a lot about this league.
Yeah, I was looking at that too, and I thought it was the right thing to do. You know, obviously the CFL or anybody else could have basically, you know, it could have been any league that would have said, yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, it's like saying taking a three point shot to win $1 million in an NBA game or the one that they do, I think it Kraft Hockeyville every year or something like that, where you're shooting the puck from the other end into that small hole to win in a car. You know, it's like something like the thing falling over in the net before the puck goes in and it stops the puck from going in, or the backboard breaks in the NBA thing as you're shooting a thing and saying, oh well. You know, it might have gone in, that type of thing. I think they did what they needed to do. They did what they needed to do. It didn't necessarily appease everybody, but mind you, in today's world of social media, you're not going to appease everybody, unfortunately. But everybody does have an opinion. Hold on. I'm going to write that right now on Twitter. I have an opinion. Hashtag, I have an opinion. Hashtag, listen to me. I think, you know, they did the right thing. And, you know, congratulations to her. Again, it's not $1 million. I'm sure everybody would love to have $1 million, but she came away with some pretty good stuff. So it's, again, I'm going to echo your sentiments and saying kudos to everybody who was involved in getting her something, even though there seemed to be an obvious misjustice with that call from the ref. You went to practice this week. The new Owls practice rules have come into effect and whatnot, and you just wanted to, I guess you have a little bit of a rant in itself about what your experience was like and how you feel that how this is going and maybe what needs to be done in the future, right?
Yeah, actually it was practice this past Sunday. This is my first time seeing practice at the Olympic Stadium since they've officially made the decision to hold their practices at Olympic Stadium going forward. I got to be honest with you, though. It's a funny thing because we're talking about practice. Sorry, uh-huh. I didn't mean to go into the Allen Iverson rant, but
a cliche, yeah.
Yeah. But again, I'm not expecting a whole lot of bells and whistles for practice. You don't need to set up a petting zoo and food trucks and all that stuff to entertain me. At the end of the day, I'm there to go
petting
watch.
Zoo.
I'm there to go watch a bunch of guys play, pretend to play football. You know, they're getting their plays down. They're getting their schemes in order, and they're doing what they have to do to get ready for the next game. I get that. I just felt that the whole experience, compared to what we've dealt with in the past over at St. Leonard, for example, I just felt this particular instance, it really wasn't all that fan friendly. Now, I don't know if it's just the fact that it's a Sunday afternoon. It was a beautiful day. Most people the last place they'd want to be is in the big cavernous Olympic Stadium, sitting in essentially behind home plate for the Montreal Expos fans out there that remember the setup of the Olympic Stadium. You're essentially sitting behind home plate in the end zone, if you will, watching the players, and you're so far removed from them.
Yeah,
I just felt like detached, and it was unfortunate because, you know, okay, yeah, I'm, at the end of the day, I am there to watch football, but to have that sort of camaraderie and just be able to see things afterwards, just it wasn't there. So I mean, it's not very fan friendly in that sense. Like if you're going there hoping to meet the players and all that stuff,
yeah,
you're going to be disappointed. And I also felt too that even just getting in to watch the game, like it was supposed to be nice and easy, as far as you just go to the security desk, tell them you're there to see the practice, and then they give you a wristband, and someone from the Alouettes will escort you to that particular area. And on paper, that sounds pretty awesome. Problem was, when I got there, security guard looked at me like I had three heads. Like, you're here for what? Alouettes, what? Huh? Like, had no clue whatsoever what was going on. I'm like, dude, I'm here to watch a football practice. Like, this shouldn't be more complicated than what it is. And yeah, okay, it took a little doing, but somehow I guess he was convinced I was there to just do that. And okay, I had to give my name, I had to do this, I had to get this stupid wristband and wander into the stadium, the big empty stadium where nobody was doing anything.
But you got a souvenir.
Not really. I had to give the wristband back.
Oh, Indian Gears.
I tell you, I mean, I don't know if they recycle them or what. I hope so, if that's the case. I'm like, all right, fine. I mean, it's just a wristband. I guess it's not going to, you know, ruin my day. But just the fact that you're so far away from the players, I mean, it's got to be weird for them, too, to be able to practice in this big cavernous stadium, which, again, when it's filled with 60,000 people watching either a football game, a baseball game, a rock concert or anything like that, it's awesome. But when it's empty like this, I mean, you hear everything. The echoing is unbelievable. And I thought they were going to try and pipe in some crowd noise to sort of practice for what they're going to be expecting against Ottawa this Wednesday. Turns out they played some music on the speakers, but I think it was just more for the players to enjoy while they're stretching, which I was a little disappointed about because I thought, okay, this would be the perfect opportunity to really prepare this team for a potentially hostile environment.
Considering the Big O is probably the one of worst places for acoustics.
Yeah. So, I mean, if this was a good strategy to practice that, absolutely. But the fact that they didn't really do so, I was just like, okay, whatever. So, I mean, overall, I think this is going to be great. I mean, the fact that they can practice in Olympic Stadium and not have to worry about getting on a bus and going 20, 30 minutes in traffic both ways just to get to a football field to practice on is absolutely fantastic. And the fact that the weather is not going to be a factor at all, always beautiful weather under the dome,
yeah,
that's definitely a positive as well. I think when all said and done, it's going to be great. It's just if you go in there with that looking for that fan experience, you are going to walk out disappointed. I mean, like I said, I'm there to watch football. I'm a football junkie. So at the end of the day, I don't really care about that aspect of things. But I mean, if you're like the way that the Alouettes have presented it is that it's open to the public and you're free to attend and, you know, bring the family kind of thing. But I mean, really, truly, unless you're a diehard football nut like I am and you're just happy just to watch actual football action, I think you, as a fan, you're going to walk away disappointed by the whole experience because you're not going to be able to really talk to the players. You're not really going to be able to see them like up close and personal like you would in the past. Overall, I'm happy that they have this facility now for their use. I just feel like more could be done. I feel like the experience could be a little bit better. And maybe this is all part of the whole ironing things out kind of thing. Or maybe it's just not that important to the team. I don't know. But I personally would have liked to have seen a little bit more. But it is what it is. I'm hoping it's just growing pains. I'm just hoping it's – I mean, at the end of the day, they're supposed to be there to concentrate on their next opponent. So
right. And
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt on this one, but I'm just giving you folks fair warning that if you're in town and you want to see an Alouettes practice, I'd say go ahead and definitely do it. But just be warned that it's not going to be a super spectacular, wonderful thing. It's just going to be a straight up football practice.
Well, and when I first read the announcement that they're, you know, between them and the Big O or the Olympic Installations Board, something told me right away that it wasn't going to work, especially where they said if you're going to be brought over to sections 102 to 108 or whatever it was. I knew right away. I knew exactly where that was. As we all know, the Big O is not the best place at all for football. Along with this new thing, you know, I'm happy for the practicing. And I may have mentioned this last week, but you know, them and the agreement and saying that there's going to be at least one home game at the Big O now during this agreement, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I hate the Big O so much for football. And when it comes to transition of seats and everything like that, and my thought, though, is that, you know, considering where the Owls are going when it comes to the fans that they're drawing, you know, they drew less than last week, but it was still over 18,000, but I got a feeling that was probably because of the rain. You're going to a bigger venue. Let's hope that you draw 30,000+. I think the last time they played at the Big O, they only drew like 35,000 for a regular season game, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So I get your point. It needs to be, the experience needs to be upgraded. because, again, I hate sitting in the end zones to watch anything. It's not like you're going to be at training camp. It's not like you would have been if you were to watch at Concordia or if you would over at Stade Bear in St. Leonard. I get that, but it's something. You know, maybe they need to think about, and we talked about this last week, maybe they need to think about going to McGill. Maybe they need to go there. It's something that they obviously they'll have to look at, and maybe I'm sure there was an out for this thing, but with them putting all the money into the new locker room, into the new room itself there for social media and stuff like that, I don't see it happening. But I'll have to check it out myself, Cliff, but hopefully it'll get better. Hopefully they will take input and say, listen, come down to the section. You can sit on the 50-yard line. Everything's cool. So I don't know.
Yeah, like I said, give them the benefit of the doubt. And that's what I'm trying to do here is it's new territory for them, and maybe they're trying to do it in a way so that you're not distracting the players or they don't feel like they have to put on a show or anything like that. I mean, again, practice is always one of those weird things, especially during the week too. I mean, even though it's the summertime and people are on vacation or they get days off or what have you, maybe they're not necessarily looking to spend it. Unless you're a diehard football fan, you're not necessarily looking to spend it at the football field, whether it's at Olympic Stadium or Stadium or anywhere else for that matter.
Right.
So I kind of get it. Like, you know, you sort of open it up. It's like, oh, hey, check it out if you want. And those that want to will. And those that don't, I mean, I don't think you could offer anything to them, really. Like I said, you know, petting zoo, food trucks, face painting. I don't know whatever it's going to take to attract people. But I don't think it's
do it on a weekend where the food trucks are at the Big O. That would be perfect.
There you go. I mean,
I think it's once every 2 weeks that they have all the food trucks joined at the Big O, and I think it's once every 2 weeks or something like that. For those of you who don't know, if you've been to the Olympic Stadium, you know there's this huge area outside of the Olympic Stadium, and they bring all the food trucks, or the city brings all the food trucks, and it's basically this giant unofficial official eat fest. So I don't know, something else. I don't know.
Hey folks, we appreciate your continued support of the Alouettes Flight Deck podcast. You can find all of our previous episodes over on Podbean. Just head to alouettesflightdeck.podbean.com. You can also find us on iTunes and Google Play Music by searching the keywords Alouettes Flight Deck. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @AlouettesFLDeck and check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/AlouettesFlightDeck. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about the show, you can shoot us an email, alouettespodcast@gmail.com. Once again, thanks so much for listening.
You know, it's funny. We're taping on a Monday because we have a game on a Wednesday. But before we get to that Wednesday thing, and you were at the stadium when this occurred, and I want to hear what your thought is. Give us a few, considering it is Monday, the Alouettes transactions that actually did come across the wire. Being that it is Monday, what some interesting releases.
Well, the biggest news would have to be the release of Ryan Phillips, who was one of the Alouettes' major acquisitions in the offseason. I think the thought and the hope was that he would help shore up the defensive line the secondary. As you know, he's a veteran of many years with the BC Lions, perennial All-Stars, won Grey Cups, absolutely fantastic player, but for whatever reason, it just wasn't a good fit. And you take a look at the play of the youngsters on this D-line, or the secondary, talking about guys like Dondre Wright in his rookie season, Chris Ackie, who's been extremely solid in the safety position.
Yeah.
Both these youngsters have been playing outstanding football, both national players as well. So, I mean, that's a huge bonus right there. And unfortunately, he's a good man, Ryan Phillips, but unfortunately, it looks like time has sort of passed him by, and I think youth will definitely be served when it comes to this secondary. You talk about youngsters like Jonathan Mincy and Greg Henderson, even though they're banged up right now. Others are stepping in as well. You got Donald Duamba Jr., who has been playing some solid football. Brandon Stewart, while not young, made his debut and looked really solid against Calgary. So, I mean, it really came down to the numbers, or it came down to youth more than anything else. I have no doubt that Ryan Phillips will land on a roster somewhere, but unfortunately his time in Montreal was short but sweet. Like I said, absolutely outstanding individual. I wish him all the best, but it just wasn't the right fit, unfortunately.
And one thing we also did learn too is that, especially with it being a short week, we did learn that the CFL's leading rusher, Terrell Sutton, is going to be sat this week based on supposedly that he sustained a quote unquote contusion to his lower leg versus Calgary. So Brennan Rutley will be starting this week for the Alouettes.
That is the plan. He was getting a lot of the reps in the practice that I saw on Sunday. He was getting a lot of reps, and he was also getting a lot of reps today, Monday afternoon. Again, Rutley is an absolutely fantastic running back as well. He has not been able to play in any of the games so far this season. So I think this works out perfectly because, yeah, you've got the league-leading rusher in Tyrell Sutton. And it seems a little outlandish for the idea of him sitting against a divisional opponent of all people. But Rutley is no slouch. I'm really excited to see what he can bring to the table. I'd like to see him get some honest, true reps. And I'm not too worried about Tyrell. He's going to be back, whether he's quote-unquote injured or if it's just a very clever way to let Rutley get some much-needed reps at starting tailback. I'm definitely encouraged by both of these men, no matter what. In a perfect world, we'd see both of them in the lineup and both sort of slotting in here and there just to really give a very balanced ground game attack. But again, when you got someone as powerful and has got the momentum like Sutton does, it's a real head scratcher on first glance to you wonder why he's sitting for this game, unless it's a severe injury. But Rutley, like I said, is a very solid number two. Outstanding player, outstanding speed with him as well. Great hands, too, so I can definitely be a dual threat if need be. So if both he and Jean-Christophe Beaulieu can get involved in the ground game and really just grind away against Ottawa, I think it's going to be – I don't think anyone on this offense is going to miss a step.
Now, as I said, Alouettes are going to be playing on a Wednesday. They haven't played a Wednesday game, Cliff, since – it's almost – it's actually just over a full 8 years since they played. It was Calgary on the road in the season opener back in 2008. You know, these short weeks are brutal, and unfortunately in the CFL, because you know when Ottawa is playing on Wednesday, then they're going to be playing on Monday again. This is, I know, it's a thing with a 9-team league. You get this at least once a year where you have 5 games played.
And don't forget, Ottawa also played in Edmonton this past Friday as well.
Yeah, they played the late game. That's the thing, too. You're right. Now, you know, whether you believe it or not, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, even though that Ottawa is still currently, they haven't won a game this year, but they have, you know, but they still have that one tie. But they, you know, people are leading us to believe that the Ottawa Redblacks are still a better team currently, at least in the power rankings, according to some people, that, you know, the Ottawa is still a better team than the Montreal Alouettes. What does Montreal have to fear more in this matchup? Is it the short week, even though it's both teams are coming in on a short week? Is it that don't let the 0-3-1 record fool you? Or is it the home crowd? Because remember, the last time I think that these two teams met in Ottawa, Montreal smoked them.
Mm-hmm.
So going into this matchup, what do the Owls have more to what is more misleading? Record, what people are saying they are, or you'd say is it the crowd itself?
Well, you can never discount the crowd at TD Place. I mean, it's definitely a very loud, raucous crowd. I'd be curious to see for a Wednesday night. Like I said, because it's summertime, I'm sure it's still going to be sold out. I'm sure it's still going to be packed to the gills. I don't necessarily think the crowd is going to be as much concerned as it will be just this sneaking suspicion that maybe, just maybe, Ottawa really isn't as bad as what their record indicates. I mean, you take a look at the 4 games that they played in, and they've been extremely competitive in every single one of them. You can't say they've been blown out. You can't say that they've been dominated, really. I mean, they've hung tough with every opponent they played with, and some of those losses could just as easily have been wins had one or two things gone their way. I mean, just the fact that they had a tie against Calgary in their first game is phenomenal. I don't think anyone could have scripted a storybook any like that. Like, the two teams that met in the Grey Cup last year, play the first game of the season. That's a tradition in and of itself.
Yeah, yeah. You know, just I think the next time that these two teams play, just give them a, which their series is already done, give them a tie. I have one of the two games.
Yeah, and just the fact that, okay, the last time these two teams played, they went to overtime, and that's how the Grey Cup was decided. And now they're going to go overtime again, and this time it ends up in a tie. It is unbelievable. I mean, like I said, you cannot script these things. So, I mean, I take a look at what Ottawa has. I mean, their offense is extremely potent because they've been able to rack up 30-plus points in their games as well. They haven't been slouches in that department. The defense, Mark Nielsen, former defensive coach for the Alouettes, always puts together a very outstanding effort. Like, these is very strong, very powerful defense as well. I'd say against Noel Thorpe's defense, I still think Thorpe and his charges have the advantage in that sense. I think it really is just a matter of, I think, like, the Alouettes themselves, they're still trying to find themselves because they lost a lot of players in free agency. They've made a lot of moves as well. You don't have Henry Burris there anymore leading the team, so now it's Trevor Harris that's the quarterback for the Red Blacks, and I think he's ready to take on that leadership role, and he's done a very respectable job so far, but it's still going to take time. Like, he's not going to become a legend overnight, like, especially when you put him up against guys like he's faced Bo Levi Mitchell twice. He's faced Mike Riley.
Yeah.
Faced Ricky Ray. I mean, like, these are premier quarterbacks in this league. So to be able to at least match up toe-to-toe with these guys for the most part, that's nothing to sneeze at. So, I mean, like, you cannot count Ottawa out by any stretch of the imagination. Like, Montreal's got momentum right now. Like, they've got to be on top of the world. They just beat Calgary. Not convincingly, but they still beat them. The fact that you handed them their first L of the regular season and you basically stopped Bo Levi Mitchell in his tracks, that's no small feat. So Montreal is definitely feeling good about that. And going into, like you said, a short week, same as Ottawa is. Ottawa, though, is going to be hungry. They cannot afford to lose this game. And I think you're going to see that play on Wednesday. I think you're definitely going to see them coming out. They're going to want to punch Montreal in the face. They're going to want to set the tone early and often and just punish Montreal. And if the Alouettes are smart, they're preparing for this. They're expecting this. And if they can just keep that momentum that they had against Calgary and bring it to TD Place, I think we're definitely going to see a real slobber knocker as far as football games go. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a really, really interesting affair.
I think it'll be a good game too. I think this will be, you know, going in, Ottawa's record can be a little misleading, but I think that, you know, the Alouettes can't look beyond that. I mean, sure, 0-3-1, but they're going into Ottawa. You know, it was a different team that blew out the Red Blacks at home in Ottawa the last time that they played there. So, yeah, they got to be careful. I think if they can continue and just do things exactly how they did this past week, consistent drives. Sometimes they have to be methodical. Sometimes they can be boring, but sometimes they have to be methodical. And the scoring is, the scoring plays that the Alouettes had this past week were just that. If they can just take away the penalties, I think the Alouettes will be okay. I think it should be a very entertaining game. As I said, really, both teams are coming in on equal footing. I think, you know, I would say that because that Ottawa played the later game, I think it's for them. I think it's a little bit more of an advantage for the Alouettes. I mean, is that fair to say?
For the most part, at the end of the day, these are all professionals, so they kind of know what they have to deal with, and it's easy to make excuses and even factoring in the fact that this will be for Ottawa their second game in 11 days, mm-hmm. and they still got another game coming up next Monday mm-hmm. or the Monday afterwards.
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy for sure.
No, and by the way, we went over to Five Dimes. Five Dimes has the Red Blacks favored by 4.5 points currently, with an over under of 50.5. And if you remember what the over under was left for last week's game, kind of a little misleading considering I think it was 48 points, I think, and both teams combined scored close to 60. So, mm-hmm. I think it'll be good. I think it should be a good matchup. Don't forget, if you're not at home, set your PVRs because obviously it's going to be Wednesday night. Is it an early start? Oh, no, it's 7:30. It's a 7:30 start.
Yeah.
So,
I will say one thing though. talking earlier about the running game for the Alouettes.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandon Rutley, like I said, is definitely going to be a force to be reckoned with, but I don't know what it is about Ottawa, but J.C. Beaulieu always seems to really make people stand up and take notice when he plays a TV place. So I would not be surprised to see him make an outstanding player too, as far as when the Alouettes have the ball. There's just some, I don't know what it is, but it seems like every game that he's ever played it at TD Place, he does something extremely outstanding.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. Like, maybe he just likes, you know, maybe he likes the mini road trip. Maybe he likes the shawarma in Ottawa. I don't know. But there's just something about playing in TD Place that J.C. Beaulieu just ups his game. I wish I had the answer for it, but all I'm saying is don't be surprised if Beaulieu has an outstanding game, and quite frankly, Darren Durant would be wise. I mean, you took a look at that last rush that JC had against Calgary.
Yep.
27 yards, and dude was not touched at all.
No, it was not. No, it was not.
And that set up the touchdown for Cunningham, and it was just absolutely beautiful. And I got the sense that Jacques Chatelain is like, okay, yeah, I think we got something here. We saw a little bit of that against BC. Let's see what he does with this. And sure enough, bam, 27 yards. Like, okay, I think we got something here. Like I said, this is a dual threat, Beaulieu. Put him to use. I mean, everybody's expecting you to run now. Everybody's expecting you to throw to Cunningham or Jackson or Tyquan Underwood.
Mm-hmm.
Mix things up a little bit. Make them respect. Make them pay notice to J.C. Beaulieu, because not only can he run, the dude can catch as well. He is very much a threat. And he's a big boy, too. So you tackle him, it's going to hurt. I'm not one of those fans that wants to tell the coach how to do their job necessarily. But if it were up to me, I'd find any way, shape, or form, get J.C. Beaulieu as involved in the offense as much as possible against the Red Blacks.
Should be a good game. Should be a good game. Don't forget, obviously, if you have any questions, you can send them to us over at alouettespodcast@gmail.com. We're still working on a few things for this season, and we hope you guys enjoy the show. Cliff, I won't be seeing you this week. I won't be seeing you next week, but I will be talking with you very, very shortly.
Oh, yeah. But I will be in Ottawa, so if there's
You're going. Oh, nice.
Yes, sir. Working it out that a lot of Alouettes Nation is going to be at this game, and how can I not be as well? So I'm definitely going to be at TD Place. I'll be representing the flight deck. I'll be sure to visit all the tailgates in Ottawa and make sure to spread the love. And if you see me out there, come by and say hi.
Nice, nice. Well, enjoy the game then. Enjoy the game. I'll look for you on TV and your big Alouettes flight deck sign.
Now I gotta go buy Sharpies.
Yeah, unfortunately you do. And no, you can't. You can't use. You can't take it out of petty cash.
What?
Nah, sorry. Sorry. And on that note, so for everybody here at Alouettes Flight Deck, for Cliffy D, I'm Tim Capper. We're on Final Approach.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.